This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning, this is C.A. Nuri, and I'm still holding on for Aaron Green, who's convalescing at home, and I'm here with Mark. And Aaron, are you there?
Yes. Good morning this morning.
Yes, it is on the clock. It is Tuesday, the 21st of March, and on the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us to understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. And of course, I do that introduction, just introducing Erin, and then she comes in and do all of the housekeeping. But we have some special guests in today. So I just want to welcome Erin so she can start her show. Go ahead, Erin.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Mr. Nuri. Thank you, Bahamas, for your patience. Thanks to technology, I can take a little time to heal before I get back into the studio, and I am very, very grateful for that. And, you know, it raises to the fore the importance of valuing, not just the importance of diversity, but the importance of understanding how every member of your society impacts wider society and your life in particular. You know, how it's important to value what it is we all bring to the table, because we all bring something different to the table. And that in and of itself is special and worthy of recognition. And then the ability or capacity to see that and then to harness it, right? To harness the potential, true potential of diversity. And so being home with severely restricted mobility has not just opened my eyes further to what people who are mobily challenged face in the country, but it reminded me that it is those that were normally restricted from participating in normal life, you know, because of physical or intellectual challenges. It is those people that showed us how to navigate the pandemic, right? It is the solutions that they have derived from for themselves that we were able to adopt and use to make our lives run as smoothly as possible. And so while I am very sad and frustrated that I can't come into the studio, I am grateful for what this time has afforded me, right? And that's time to reflect on the ways that I can continue to contribute to society, even though I am injured or, you know, restricted in some ways. And then also to remember that my value as a citizen doesn't depend on what I contribute to society or to the country or to the government. My value as a human on the planet doesn't depend on what I can do for others, right? On what I can produce. that I am here is sufficient and is significant, you know? And so I'm grateful for that time, even though I can't touch road and go gallivanting right now. And I want to say thank you to Mr. Newry for supporting me in my recovery. Thank you very, very much. I couldn't do this without you. But I also want to introduce Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Mark Palmer.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you? Are you reflecting?
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear you too. And get well soon.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. Today is Tuesday, which means it's a World News Tuesday. And after we finish talking with our guests this morning, Mr. Palmer, I promise you we're going to get back into the world news spirit. There's lots to talk about. But joining us this morning are members of the Bahamas Down Syndrome Association to remind us of the important space that people with Down syndrome hold in our hearts, our homes, our community, and our country. And so on this 18th anniversary of World Down Syndrome Day, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest, Ms. Betty Taylor, president of the Bahamas Down Syndrome Association, Dr. Tanya Roker Davis, physician consultant with the association, and Shani Ambrista, also a member of the association. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. How is everyone?
Great.
Fine, thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
We are blessed.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm excited to have you guys with us today, even though I can't be there. I have my own challenges this morning, and the people won't let me escape the house. But I'm so glad that you're here with us to talk about Bahamas Down Syndrome Association and what you guys have on the table for World Down Syndrome Day.
And it seems like she got disconnected, so we'll continue the conversation. I want to know more about the association in general, right? When it was established, what is it that you do, and how do you engage the community?
We started basically in 2005, mm-hmm. and somehow we got separated and we break. And we started again during the pandemic. We started with a WhatsApp group because, you know, you couldn't meet and all of that. And now that we are open, last year, we celebrated our first World Down Syndrome Day together mm-hmm. after the pandemic. And now this year, it's bigger and it's better.
Usually, when you speak about the pandemic, it tells about a separation where things fall down. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing to know that you reconnected when the world fell short and right. stopped and paused for a bit. But before I go into detail, what happened? Why there was a tarry a bit? Because everyone knew about the association, and for a short while, people said, "Hey, where did you go?"
Well. You know, it's a conflict with personalities.
I understand. That happens. But we're moving forward now.
We're moving forward.
So how does the association celebrate? And as we wait for Aaron Green to be reconnected with this technology, I want to appreciate the association and appreciate its membership and exactly know what the organization does for support of that community.
We are right now. This is our biggest celebration.
Okay, it's going to be big.
Right, this is big. Bigger than we thought. Mm-hmm. And we are celebrating with these colorful socks that we sold. And we are trying to make a profit from by selling the socks so we can start a center for our young people. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of them, like Shani, who's at home, stuck at home, but would like to be out with her friends. And so we are hoping to start a center. And then a little bit later, we would like to start a preschool for our children. Right now, it's easy to get a child that has Down syndrome in a regular preschool. Mm-hmm. So the parents don't have an issue with that because they can be in an inclusive environment when they're small, but it's when they get into those teen years, mm-hmm. nowhere to go. Or when they finish Stapleton, there's nowhere to go. My son went to Hope Dale, which is a private school,
yeah.
and you realize, what am I going to do with him?
So who makes up the membership of the association? It's just parents inside?
Parents, and we have a few advocates with us.
Mm-hmm.
Who are, we have a few, even a special ed teacher that just joined our group. She don't have a child, but she's willing to work with us.
Okay. I'm going to jump in because Aaron has returned now, right? But I need contacts because a number of persons already texted me and say, hey, I need the number now. I need the number now. So let me start off with that and Aaron can jump in and continue the conversation. So what? How do we get in contact with this association so those who have children and adults, children who need assistance and support can get in contact with you?
Well, right now it's more support.
Okay.
Because we're trying to generate funds. So we can assist.
Yes.
But right now, it's a more... Because if you don't have support, it's a rough thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're the only person out there. With.
Yes, I can imagine.
So we are trying to build up that support and awareness right now.
So you say you have a WhatsApp group. How yes. does one get access to that WhatsApp group?
Well, they can call me 544-2140.
544-2140.
Betty Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am.
Continue. Go ahead.
All right. And on the question of resources, do you have support groups or peer groups for parents and for young people and adults living with Down syndrome, like where people meet once a week, once a month?
Well, we are getting there. Remember, we just come out of a pandemic, so we are... We meet once a month, the second Saturday. Right now, we meet at the Shirley mm-hmm. Heights Gospel Hall, where we have meetings. And tonight, we're getting together right there to have a celebration of World Down Syndrome Day.
And can you tell our listeners where that's located, where that
it's
church is located?
It's on the corner of Mount Royal and Madera, the pink church that everyone passes but don't know this. It's right there.
Mount Royal Madera. And we're about to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day, right?
Today.
We are celebrating it, right? I want to know about the events. What exactly are we doing and how can we participate as a community?
You can wear colorful socks. You know, sometimes, like, if we put on our high shoes with the colorful socks, everyone's going to be looking at us like,
mm-hmm.
is she okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if we see them staring too long, it opens a conversation because we can tell them, about why we are wearing the socks. We are wearing the socks because the number 21 chromosome, when you look at it under the microscope, that's the chromosome that causes Down syndrome. It looks like a sock. So in 2012, the United Nations decided to celebrate the day. So we are joining the whole world in celebrating World Down Syndrome Day.
So for somebody who's ignorant about Down syndrome, it is just a chromosome. That's a difference in chromosome.
What it is you have 23 chromosomes from your mommy, 23 from your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That when people say, boy, you look like your daddy, you look like your mommy, chromosome. The person with Down syndrome, you have 46, 23 pairs. The normal person
mm-hmm.
has 46. The person with Down syndrome has 47. And so... The number 21 chromosome, instead of splitting into two, it splits into three, not total split.
Oh, wow.
And so that affects a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
Heart, speech, a lot of stuff. The doctor can tell you all.
So can somebody with Down syndrome lead, shall we say, a normal life? You know, what we would consider a normal life?
With training, because my son is working. Right. He works at Tops Advair.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen him there, right? Yeah. Okay.
So let's go to you, Dr. Roker Davis, mm-hmm. right? I just to explain Down syndrome again from a technical medical term and how prevalent it is in your is it affecting behemoths in general?
Mm-hmm. So Betty broke it down really, really well. So it is a genetic disorder, meaning it's at the level of the chromosome. As she stated, we all have 23 pairs, so 46 chromosomes. And what happens, like she says, it's an abnormal division of cells that occurs, and so you get an extra copy of the chromosome number 21. So persons with Down syndrome, that extra copy of that 21 is responsible for all of the characteristics that we see. So with Down syndrome, you may notice just by looking at a person. So you may see a flattened face, in particular flattened around the nose bridge. They may have like slanted eyes, eyes that slant up like almond shape eyes, and they slant up a bit. If you look in the crease in the palm of the hand, there's like a single line across. That's one of the characteristics of Down syndrome. They tend to be shorter in stature, may have a large neck. The head could be small. They have a broad-based feet, and their hands and feet tend to be small. So they can lead normal lives. It's kind of so they may do things slower than everyone else, but they do catch up, and they really can, develop in society and be integrated into society just as anyone else. They're quite capable. And what was the other part that you had asked me? Oh, in terms of statistics.
Yes.
So, of course, we don't have a lot of data collection on that here in the Bahamas, but in the United States, there are about 6,000 babies born every year with Down syndrome. It works out to be like 1 in 700. So that's the statistics that we have in the United States.
I wanted to know, okay, I see we have a caller who wants to engage you. That's not a caller. I wanted to know, how early can you detect signs?
Well, from in the womb, from before the baby's born. So I'm a prime example. My eldest son, his name is Tristan. He has Down syndrome. So they're able to do tests while the baby's in the womb, at the genetic level. And they're able to tell you from like 5 months or so, you're able to know that, hey, this child will be born with Down syndrome. Just to mention some of the other things too, I know you had asked, like complications. Mm-hmm. These kids, they're, I guess, high risk, or they have a high tendency to have cardiac issues. My son was actually born with a huge hole in his heart. He's had 2 major open heart surgeries. Oh. So a lot of these kids go through things like that. They have to have heart surgeries. Some have to travel abroad to get it done. And some of them are done here. They tend to have gastrointestinal issues as well. And these are just things for even parents who may be listening in, who may have a child with Down syndrome, to look out for and to point out to their physicians when the children are getting their checkups. You have to be careful. A lot of them are born with decreased muscle tone, so they tend to be floppy. So you need to be careful too, especially like with their necks, and because they could kind of hyperextend because the muscle tone is decreased. So that's something that to look out for as well. And then a lot of them have endocrine problems, in particular at the level of the thyroid. So, you have regular people walking around with hypo and hyperthyroidism, overactive or underactive thyroids, and this is a common problem as well with children with Down syndrome.
Aaron, you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning again. Can we talk briefly about acceptable and unacceptable language and behavior when interacting with and talking about people with Down syndrome?
Go ahead. She's asking.
Hello? Hi. Oh, sorry.
There's distracted with me. Do you want to know acceptable language in terms of dealing with the community?
So, for us, and I think Betty would agree too, we handle our kids just like anybody else. Right. They are, I will say this, they are very open and loving. When you see them, sometimes the look, we could be real here. Sometimes you look at them and they look strange. Some people may find and they tend to stare, but they are the most lovable people in the whole wide world. They love giving hugs. They're open. They always look on the positive side of things. I could give an example. My son, I could walk in the door. You would think I was away from my son for a year. The way he greets me, because he comes running. He's like, Mom, you're home. And how was your day at work? And they're the sweetest people. Oh. We learn so much from them, just their whole positive outlook on life. We just like the general, just we treat them just like anybody else.
But some things we don't like. When I went to work and I was talking about the socks, so the person said, oh, you're talking about the crazy socks day. I looked at him, I said, that's fine for others, but we don't refer to our children as crazy. We don't want society to think, because they're different, they're crazy. So we would prefer to say it's worldwide Down syndrome, rock your socks day. So he said, okay, I understand. And it's amazing. A lot of people, two of the young ladies that I work with, said they had never heard about Down syndrome until mm-hmm. they came into the office. So that is our fight to make the awareness.
Behaviors aware and alert.
Right off what. And they can function in a normal society. Let me tell you, I wouldn't trade my son in the world. I've been married for 37 years, and my husband could never give me as much flowers as my son gives. He go out in the yard. When I walk on the yard, I see weed that the gardener need to take up. He see flowers for his mummy. So he comes in with a handful of flowers that I have to put in water and let it sit there. So.
Absolutely. Now, I heard you reference Miss Shani Ambrista. Was she able to join you in studio this morning?
She's here.
Say, yes, I'm here.
Yes, good, I'm here.
Good morning, Miss Ambrista. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Even though I'm stuck at home, I'm glad to have you in studio with us this morning. Yes, could I ask you a few questions? Like, if you have an opportunity to speak to the Bahamian people, what do people with Down syndrome need from society? You know, what do you want when you go out into your community?
Love.
Love.
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Acceptance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see mm-hmm. that I'm pulling the mic closer. But what do you do for fun? I'm just going to make it more mm-hmm. simple. What do you do for fun?
Watch TV.
What TV?
I like watch TV too. Mm-hmm. I like watch TV because I watch TV every day. I like watch TV. Then.
What else do you like to do?
I like the color.
Mm-hmm. Like the color?
Yes, sir.
And what else?
I like to go on my computer, my phone, mm-hmm. my tablet.
You surf the net? I'm not just surfing net. I like that. That's great. That's great. That's great, man. But go ahead, Aaron.
No, that's I love it. Thank you so much, Shani. And it's important because this year's theme is with us, not for us, right? And so it's important for us to understand what you want and what you need, because we're doing it with you, you know, not for you. And it's our job to help you establish what it is that, and to support you and your family and caregivers. So tell us again about the event this evening at Shirley Heights Gospel Hall, what time we need to be there, and what can we bring with us to support the event?
Okay, we are having a recap of the month at Shirley Heights, and we are trying to get all our people involved so they can come out and have a fun evening. What we are going to do is we're supposed to have some pages there with socks and hearts on it that you're going to color in.
Okay. And I like the coloring competition.
Okay. So bring your crayons, bring your marker, highlighters, and color in the. And then we want to post those on the Worldwide International Down Syndrome site from the 242 to let people know that we are involved.
And this is an open invitation for all the Bahamas to come. These are the New Providence to come? Or this is for special?
This is special.
Okay. So that means I can't come. Okay, a special invitation to Aaron. But terms of fundraising.
You better come pick me up.
I can pick you up. I can come pick you up. We can crash this, and Aaron. We can crash this.
We may not be able to enter the competition. You know, we may not be able to submit our pictures to the International Down Syndrome Wall. But who can stop us from coloring?
That's right.
But I want to be able to help you financially and have the community help you financially. What fundraisers, or is there a bank account or donations that we can come and say, here, this is for your support group. How can I help you?
Okay. Right now, we are struggling to open a bank account because there are so many papers you need from the register office. Mm-hmm. Our group is registered, but there's one piece of paper that we are waiting on that is holding up as opening a bank account.
But you're working on it, or I need to make a phone call. Because I can make a phone call and ask for help. I can make, still make a phone call.
Yeah.
But I see we have a caller who wants to engage you. So let me answer that call, Aaron, and you continue. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? No, they switch to the next line. Let's go to that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nui, Mr. Green, Mr. Palmer, and dear guests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to make a little statement and then a response, please. Because, you know, it's all well and good. You know, better yet, opinion, you know, you could imagine someone who's impoverished, right? Has this problem that this lady's talking about with Down syndrome, right? And so then, as an avid reader and a scientific dropout, right? I was always wondering why is it, you know, it's all good to bring awareness. But what about the external environmental factors, pollutants, whatever, right? We're not searching for the cause of the proliferation of Down syndrome. We have to get to the cause. You know, the toxicologists are very guilty of deceiving humanity about chemical constituents and ingredients and external factors that influence chromosomal defects. So we are being duped here. It has to be a reason for sperm count drop. It has to be a reason for Down syndrome. God didn't make us with these chromosomal defects. Bless up.
Thank you, 52. But I want to conclude the segment, right? And just get more information on how Bohemians can support and also how we can celebrate. I know that you had a socks drive, right? And is that still going on that I can actually purchase one or two socks?
We are sold out.
We're sold already? Oh, yeah. Money making then. Money making. That is good. Praise God for that.
The support was overwhelming.
Yes.
Okay. And
we have t-shirts if you want to buy.
Okay, so you have t-shirts. See, yes. You're hiding the goods from me. Okay, where can I purchase a t-shirt?
Well, I have t-shirts right in the back of my car right now.
Yes. But and then how do I get in contact with you for that? The same phone number. Yes. So you can say 544-2140, and that's Miss Betty Taylor. And Miss Betty Taylor is the president of the Down Syndrome Association. And of course, I have Dr.
Tanya Davis.
Tanya.
Are you the vice president? Or are you the support doctor? Yes, so just making sure I get the right information on that, right? And you have an event tonight. You have an event tonight, and that event is for the community to come together, right? So give us some more information on that.
Well, it's basically for the Down syndrome community to get analyzed what happened during this month about our sock sale, the fun we had. We had pop-up boots at Lowell's Harbor Bay, Bestwood Ridge, Super Value, and they were very successful. The community really supported us with the socks and t-shirts.
Excellent. And I'm just glad that you're making the steps to become a proper NGO, that we can help you more and support you more. But I have one more phone call and then we will transition again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
On my particular special guest, I need to get her contacts because I'm a Bahamian here and my daughter, she teaches in the United States. She teaches special children because I just came from Miami and they sang a beautiful happy birthday to me. Could I have her contact? I can call her off air, please.
Well, I'll give you the president's number, right? And her number is 544-214.
Wait, hold on. You're going too far. 544.
544-2140. And that's Miss Betty Taylor.
Betty Taylor. Because I have to contact because my daughter teaches special care children.
And I appreciate that. I truly appreciate that.
Yes.
Betty, what's her last name?
Taylor.
Okay. I will get to her quick as I could because I would like to be invited to the show they have because I have a special love to those children myself because my daughter's a teacher in the United States and she teaches those special children.
Okay.
I will never call them other name but special. I love them. I love them. I always, when I go there, I have a special born with those children. And my daughter gave up everything else that she teaches those children special. She loved them from the bottom of her heart. So I will try to contact Miss Betty Kelly today.
Taylor. Yes, definitely.
Because I like to come to because I just came back from Miami. I didn't know what was going on today, a special day. I already have my beautiful socks to put on.
Good. Awesome. So we can call Betty Taylor and she can conclude with that.
Okay. Go ahead, Aaron. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Just before we leave, I wanted to mention to the audience that today is the 12th World Down Syndrome Day Conference being hosted by the United Nations. And you can connect by going online to media.un.org. That's media.un.org if you want to connect to the 12th World Down Syndrome Day Conference. And just before we go, in my research last night, I found the Grand Bahama Down Syndrome Society. And I wanted to ask, is that still operating? Do we need to support them re-initiating? And are they a part of your network, your network of organizations?
Yes, they are still operating. They had their socks drive. Kelly's in Freeport was selling the socks for them. We sold out of our socks so quickly that we had to take some of theirs.
Thank you, Grand Bahama.
Yes, thank you very much, because it was a big support.
And Doc, how do I get in contact with you? In terms of...
Okay, so you can find me at the Family Medicine Center on Blake Road, and the number there is 702-9.
I just want to make sure all the numbers are out, just in case parents want to get in contact and get information. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back for the next segment. And thank you very much for coming by, and I'm excited to take part with all of the activities and to know more information on it as you transition into... be solidified again. But it's been On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is T.A. Nuri holding on, and we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all...
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So
if you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nuri as we are transitioning and celebrating Down Syndrome Day. But what we wanted to talk about is so much protest seems to be happening, protesting all over the place. I see a group of Bahamians are in Miami now saying they could protest and how the government is treating them. And I'm saying, Aaron, it's not the Bahamas, just the Bahamas. All over the place, people just seem to be vexed at their government. And I want to know why, or is there a proper way for people to protest? And I see you send me some notes on that, and I just want to get some commentary on. Is there a proper way for protesting? What would you mark?
Well, the only way to protest is when you disrupt, right? If you just want to stand there and talk, that doesn't really do anything. I mean, it gives you visibility. If we look back to the suffragette movement back in the early part of the last century, they didn't do very well until, guess what? Until they started smashing store windows. that's when the people that own those businesses started getting upset. And that created the pressure and the pushback. So, you know, when we look at the history, you know, you have to actually make some noise. You have to make some real noise to be able to affect change. But no government likes protests. No government.
Aaron, we've been protesting for a while, and Mark said you got to disrupt. Just the other day, we had some protesters who tried to disrupt a big assembly we had here. Is disruption the right way to go about it?
Well, good morning. I think Mark is correct. You can't protest without disrupting, right? I think that's what's the best. And I think that's the difference between a protest and a demonstration, mm-hmm. right? A demonstration, you can go out, you could be present, you could be in the midst of things. You're not necessarily disrupting things, right? You are just demonstrating a position, a sentiment, a perspective, a feeling. But protests are definitely about disrupting the natural or the regular order of things. A question of protesting properly, you know, is there a correct way to protest? Well, I think the correct way to protest is A, to disrupt. If you haven't disrupted anything, are you really protesting, right? But sort of on the other side of that spectrum, I think there is a responsibility, right? I think there is a requirement for protest, and to protest properly, that you carefully weigh your potential losses against your potential gains, right? And you're not reckless. The difference between protest and anarchy is a recklessness.
So what is the difference between protest and anarchy? Because I thought there's both. And what about the public? I don't like waiting in traffic, Mark. Mm-hmm. I see the protesters like block traffic, mm-hmm. like block the bridge, and I just don't like it. I believe they need to get arrested.
So it does have a negative effect as well. I mean, ultimately, let's look at some protests in the past. Have they been successful? Look at the Black Lives Movement. Look at the Wall Street protests. Did they succeed in anything? Did they actually, despite all the disruption and in some cases violence, did they result in anything? It doesn't seem so.
I mean,
were there any changes made to legislation? It doesn't seem so. So is protesting actually even worth doing unless you get a certain number? Because most people do what they're told, Aaron. There was the Milgram experiment. Do you remember from the 1960s?
Is that the prison experiment?
Students who were told by a doctor to electrocute one of their fellow students in another room.
What?
And 70% of them, when the doctor said up the amount of electricity that would go through, 70% of students did it to the point where they nearly killed their student. Check it out, the Milgram experiment. Only 30% of students got up and said, "I ain't doing this. This is ridiculous." So 70%.
I was thinking about the other experiment with college students, where half of them became prisoners and the other half became prison guards.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. So, I mean, until there is some kind of a tipping point. I think protest will always be there. And I think it's important to voice your opinion, and hopefully you can engage. You know, I think as Cecil was saying, you know, if you disrupt traffic, it has kind of a negative, the people that you're trying to reach, you're actually alienating as well. You know, so in Holland, where you have all these tractors now, some incredible, I think 30,000 tractors block, you know, the highways, that can... You know, it's an incredible project. Of course, you'll never see it on the mainstream media.
Right. And this is the, Mark, this is the carbon tax protests that have continued from earlier this year, right? January.
In France, you had a protest for over a year, the Yellow Vest. Did we ever hear about it? No.
For over 4 years, Yellow Vest protests. Then the protests again, the carbon tax protests in January leading into February and starting last year. And in France right now, they're having the French pension reform strikes.
Mm-hmm. But you won't really see much about it, except if you're living mm-hmm. in those countries. So the media has this almost this role to suppress any protest to try and make things look that life is going in as normal. Remember in Canada what happened with those truckers. That was a huge protest. But, you know, I speak to people who have never heard of it. I mean, it was just, it closed the country down. But most people have never heard of it because it was never, I think you shared some statistics. There are an incredible amount of protests going on around the world. And I think it's an important part of democracy.
And you mentioned democracy. I will ask you this. Mm-hmm. Should governments make space for protesters?
Of course they should, but they don't want to.
And I ask you that, again, making reference to our recent protests, right? Where it seemed, and only seemed as if our government, our authorities, did not want protesters involved in their...
No, they don't. And it's kind of curated as well. You know, there's certain protests that I'm sure the government have no problems with. And that's why you have the police force or the commissioner of police then signs off a protest. But if it's a protest that is inimical to government interests, are you going to get your approval, your permit? And so there's a process that stops that. And if it's not, you know, that, and so, you know, we had those protests, like you say, at the CARICOM.
Yeah, CARICOM.
And people felt the only way they could do this is because they were a permit to be able to protest that they went ahead and did it. I mean, I'm not in their heads, but I'm assuming that was one of the reasons why they did it.
I mean, that's interesting because we talk about creating a space for protesters. What I gathered from the situation is that the application wasn't denied, but conditional that they changed the venue of the actual protest, right? Mm-hmm. And we see protests around the globe. A space is made available to protest. It's not, you know, and then the state begins to disrupt the protest. Okay, you could protest, but not necessarily in the space that you would wish to protest. We will curate a space for you to protest in. You know, another way that the protests get disrupted is very simply by confusing the message, right? When we ask the question, is there a right or wrong way to protest? Well, an important part of your protest must be that your reason for protest, what you intend to achieve by protesting, they have to be clearly articulated to the wider public, right? Otherwise, you end up not just disrupting, but you end up frustrating people to the point of negating their participation in your issue. But if people understand why you're protesting and they understand the intention of the protest, right, then people are more likely to deal with the disruption or the frustration, right? They're likely to go along with it.
Well, and so we did have a history of protests here in the Bahamas. I know going back to the 50s, 60s, but in our recent history, remember We March? That seemed to have been very effective, that there was one major protest and I believe the government backed down on something that they were proposing to do, and then they...
Say what?
They remember the We March?
Oh, no, we remember the We March.
Yeah.
But the part about it being... Or the government actually...
Well, I do remember, and this
responding
is...
by capitulating on an issue.
Because there was nearly a second march, remember, when the Attorney General posited, and I forget exactly what she was suggesting happen, and then there was a threat for another march, and then the government backed down. I can't remember the exact, I'll have to go back, but it seems to be stuck in my mind.
That's an interesting reading of it, Mark. sitting on the outside, what I would say is that although it appeared as if the purpose of the march was clear, at the end of the march, it became clear that we weren't certain what the purpose of the march was.
But let's talk about policing protesters, Aaron, right? Of our police force and enforcement, how should police engage protesters? Can they say, "My nuke, no, you can't see this"?
or can you come move over here? Because it seems like the protesters here are aggressive and they don't listen to police officers.
Well, this is what is the exchange interchangeable language, right? In one breath, people are talking about going out and hosting protests, right? And then in another breath, they say, well, we were only demonstrating. It was a peaceful protest. Why are the officers, you know, why were we being treated in this manner? And I think to myself, listen, if you declare that you're going to have a protest, then acknowledge what you went out there to do. You went out there to disrupt. Now, I'm not saying that that warrants aggressive, unnecessary force. What I am saying is, though, be clear about what it is you intended to do. And be clear with that language. Don't change up the language to paint a particular narrative.
I see we have a caller here, Aaron. Let me engage them. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA.
Good morning,
Aaron. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
You know, this is a very interesting conversation. And I'm at this point where you talk about the purpose of the protest and everything. You know, I could understand the police force. In fact, from my understanding, even upon application, which I don't really see why people need to apply to protest anyway, because it's our democratic right to do so. However, to so-called apply just to notify the police force of what the intent of the protest is all about, should give just the police the ability to ensure that no crime is there, no physical crime or crimes of damage is going to occur, or if there was the incident of that, then they are there to then take the law into their hands and arrest those persons. But to try and stifle the right of democracy of a people whose inalienable right is to protest, is to assemble, is to have freedom of speech and movement. I mean, there's a very thin line here that is being blurred. You know, persons, according to the perception out here, honestly, the police force has been used on a number of occasions to try and stifle the rights of people who have the inalienable right to do these things. So, you know, I think, as you so rightfully said, Aaron, you know, to know what the true intent or purpose is of that protest, a peaceful protest, should not have ended up in the manner that it did, whereas persons were injured by law enforcement who is there to protect and to serve. You know, so there was an injustice in the public domain that seems to have occurred that yet our officials have yet to positively respond on why these actions were taking place. And my last point here is, we have certain persons in our political domain who seems to enjoy calling other members of other potential or political or existing political parties as fringe or as if they don't have a right to exist. But I'm going to tell you, it's a very dangerous thing to do as it pertains to democracy. This is the right to form a group as long as the group abides by the laws as prescribed by our code. And we just have people that just enjoy to play political party politics instead of looking at what is the fight that the people are bringing to the forefront to justify and also to protect even their rights, the people who are even against these people, their rights, that the possible infringement of their rights going forward. So, you know, there's a lot of things I can say on this, but I'll just end on that point and tell you that in closing, that democracy in this country seems to be, is at risk, because true democracy means that when the people can speak, defend, fight, and vocalize their intent for the love of country and our people to do what is right, petitioning the government to do what is right by the people, for the people. If that cannot be done and achieved by the people, then our society definitely has been lost at this point. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What inspired me to have this conversation, I saw a post someone shared with me that there are There are just protests happening all over the world as we are speaking. And they were saying, expect to see protests in Kenya, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, South Africa today and this week. And so I went online, and indeed in Kenya, in Nigeria, in the Gambia, in Senegal, in Namibia, in South Africa, in Tunisia, right now there's political unrest and there's protests against, there's anti-government, anti-political protests, and there are protests surrounding a lack of political accountability. And then we turn to France, and these guys are about, on Thursday, they're going to have their 9th official national day of strike, of striking. And that's a big deal in France. The streets of Paris are burning. And so I found the global protest tractor, and the protests taking place across the globe as of the 7th of March, 2023, ranging from 100 people to 1.2 million people. There are 135 significant economic and government protests have occurred since 2017. More than 132 countries have experienced significant protests, and over 400 significant and government protests have erupted worldwide since 2017. You know, and I just thought, wow, we are only hearing about the Ukraine. You know, like you referenced earlier in the conversation, Mark, there seems to be a media blackout on all of these discussions. And I wondered if we in the Bahamas were really focused on the discussions, or if we were focused on our feelings, right? If we're considering the impact of large-scale and sustained protests on our country, on the financial services and foreign direct investment, on tourism, right, on the social fabric of our country. And one of the things that made me really all upset, we're all frustrated, we all say we in protest mode, we're not really thinking about it. And it's something that was raised by our last caller with wonderful contributions, you know, and I just want to encourage Bahamians that if the police act, right, if you think that your rights are being breached because you're not being allowed to protest, challenge the police act as being unconstitutional. The question of why do you need a permit to protest? Let's really start thinking about the things we say are important to us. Anyway, thank you so much, audience. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Cecil, for holding it down in the studio for me today. This has been On the Clock, and up next is Guardian Radio AM with this wonderful host, Mr. C.A. Newry. Thank you, Bahamas.